શ્રી ચૈતન્ય જય નિત્યાનંદ જય અદ્વૈત ચંદ્ર જય ઘોર ભક્ત વૃંદ જય જય શ્રી ચૈતન્ય જય નિત્યાનંદ જય અદ્વૈત ચંદ્ર જય ઘોર ભક્ત વૃંદ
So you can probably tell from the way that the class has begun that it won't be the normal Srimad Bhagavatam class. And actually from today through Saturday, there'll be readings from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, written by, of course, the great Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And today's class, which is from Chapter 8 of the Madhya Leela, will be structured as follows. So first, I'll read the summary of Chapter 8. Then I'll read verse 57, including the Bengali, the English translation, and the purport. And then I'll provide a summary of verse 57 through the end of chapter 8, which is the glorious conversation between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy. So everything that I'll be reading was downloaded from the most recent version of the Veda base, so I hope it agrees with what you'll see on screen. So we begin with a summary of Chapter 8 of the Madhya Leela of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita entitled Talks Between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy. The summary of the eighth chapter is given by Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur in his Amrita Prabaha Bhasha. After visiting the temple of Jiyada Nrsingha, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the banks of the river Godavari to a place known as Vidyanagar. When Srila Ramananda Roy went there to take his bath, they met. After introducing himself, Sri Ramananda Roy requested Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to remain in the village for some days. Honoring his request, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed there in the home of some Vedic Brahmanas. In the evening, Srila Ramananda Roy used to come to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ramananda Roy, who was clothed in ordinary dress, offered the Lord respectful obeisances. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu questioned him on the object and process of worship and also asked him to recite verses from the Vedic literature. I'll be taking occasional breaks. I have a little mint tea so that it's not totally unpleasant to listen to my voice. Yeah, exactly. First of all, Srila Ramananda Roy enunciated the system of the Varnashram institution. He recited various verses about karmarpana, and that means offering the results of one's activities, stating that everything should be dedicated to the Lord. He then spoke of detached action, knowledge mixed with devotional service, and finally the spontaneous loving service of the Lord. After hearing Srila Ramananda Roy recite some verses, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the principle of pure devotional service, devoid of all kinds of speculation. After this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Roy to explain the higher platform of devotional service. Then Srila Ramananda Roy explained unalloyed devotional service, love of Godhead, and serving the Lord in the moods of pure servitude, fraternity, and parental love. Finally, he spoke of serving the Lord in conjugal love. He then spoke of how conjugal love can be developed in various ways. This conjugal love attains its highest perfection in Srimati Radharani's love for Krishna. He next described the position of Srimati Radharani and the transcendental mellows of love of God. Srila Ramananda Roy then recited a verse of his own concerning the platform of ecstatic vision, technically called Prema Vilas Vivarta. Srila Ramananda Roy also explained that all stages of conjugal love can be attained through the mercy of the residents of Vrindavan, especially by the mercy of the gopis. All these subject matters were thus vividly described. gradually Ramananda Rai could understand the position of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited his real form, Ramananda Rai fell unconscious. After some days, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Rai to retire from government service and come to Jagannath Puri. These descriptions of the meetings between Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are taken from the notebook of Swarup Damodar Goswami. So now we will read verse 57 of chapter 8 of the Manjalila. And my Sanskrit is terrible. My Bengali is abominable. Is there a Bengali in the audience? Govinda Dutt's not here. Okay. Omakunda Dutt. Anyway, is that on this? Good. There it is. So I'll recite one line, and you all can do much better than me. You please then recite one line. Prabhu kahi pad shlok shadyara nirnoy. Raya kohi sa dharma charane vishnu bhakti hoy. Prabhu kohi pad shlok shadyara nirnoy. Raya kohi sa dharma charane vishnu bhakti hoy. Oh, I hear a nice melody there. Okay, so a couple of the gentlemen, a couple of the ladies, you can use that nice melody to be fine. Please go ahead. Prabhu kahe pada shloka sadhyara nirnoy. Raya kohe shodhurma charane vishnu bhakti hoy. Prabhu kahe pada shloka sadhyara nirnoy. Raya kohe shodhurma charane vishnu bhakti. A couple of the ladies, please. Raya kahe bhakti hoy. Raika Prabhu Kahe. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Pad, just recite, Shlok, a verse from the revealed scriptures, Shadhir, of the aim of life, Nirnoy, an ascertainment. Raya kohi. Ramananda Rai replied, Shadharma acharane. By executing one's occupational duty. Vishnu bhakti. Devotional service to Lord Vishnu. Hoy. There is. Translation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Ramananda Rai recite a verse from the revealed scriptures concerning the ultimate goal of life. Ramananda replied, if one executes the prescribed duties of his social position, he awakens his Krishna, original Krishna consciousness. Please repeat, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Ramananda Rai recite a verse from the revealed scriptures concerning the ultimate goal of life. Ramananda replied, if one executes the prescribed duties of his social position, he awakens his original Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada's purport. In this connection, Sri Ramanujacharya states in the Vedartha Sangraha that devotional service is naturally very dear to the living entity. That is a very, as they say, pregnant sentence, that devotional service is naturally very dear to the living entity. Indeed, it is life's goal. This devotional service is supreme knowledge, or Krishna consciousness, and it brings detachment from all material activity. In the transcendental position, a living being can perfectly acknowledge the superiority of serving the Supreme Lord. The devotees attain the Supreme Lord only by devotional service. Having such knowledge, one engages in his occupational duty, and that is called bhakti yoga. By performing bhakti yoga, one can rise to the platform of pure devotional service. So personally, I've never seen bhakti yoga distinguished from pure devotional service, but here it's described as one's occupational duty. Okay? A great saint, the father of Srila Vyasadeva, Parashara Muni, has specifically mentioned that devotional service to the Lord can ultimately be awakened in human society by the discharge of duties in accordance with the Varnashrama system. The Supreme Personality of God had instituted Varnashrama Dharma to give human beings a chance to return home back to Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, who is known in the Bhagavad Gita as Purushottama, the greatest of all personalities, personally came and declared that the institution of Varnashrama Dharma was founded by him. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Chatur Varnyam Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasaha Tasya Kartaram Upimam Vidya Akartaram Avyayam. Elsewhere in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Sve Sve Kurmanya Biratak Sang Siddhing Labate Naraha Shakarma Niratak Siddhing Ta Vindati Tach Trunu Yatak Pravrutti Bhutanang Yena Sarvamidang Tatam Swakarmanatang Abhyarcha Siddhim Vindati Manavaha. Human society should be divided into four divisions, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, and everyone should always engage in his occupational duty. The Lord says that those engaged in their occupational duty can attain perfection simply by rendering loving devotional service to the Lord while executing their particular duty. Actually, the modern ideal of a classless society can be introduced only by Krishna consciousness. Let men... That means men and women, by the way. Let men perform their occupational duty and let them give their profits to the service of the Lord. In other words, one can attain the perfection of life by discharging one's occupational duty and employing the results in the service of the Lord. This method is confirmed by great personalities like Bodhayana, Tanka, Dramada, Guhadeva, Kapardi, and Bharuchi. So, Prabhupada refers to these as great personalities, and so this is a reflection of my deep understanding of Vedic text. I've never heard of any of them, but that's my fault. Anyway. It is also confirmed by the Vedanta Sutra. So, now we shall transition to a synopsis of the conversation between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prabhu, and Ramananda Roy. And I'll simply start by invoking Srila Prabhupada's mercy. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamilitya Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharide Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschatudishyatarine. So this is a time of both sadness and celebration here in New Dwarka. Sadness because the smiling faces of Lords Jagannath, Baladev, and Lady Subhadra are absent from our vision, and even Rukmini Dwarkadish are kind of absent, but they're there, just behind the grate. But it's also a time of celebration because we're entering the most exciting period during which the greatest transcendental event in all of North America is about to be launched. And of course, I'm referring to the Holy Los Angeles Ratha Yatra, now in its 47th consecutive year. Hare Bol! So it's a tradition to dedicate this period before the festival to hear from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which alongside the Srimad Bhagavatam stands as the greatest literature of all time in any language, nothing compares to the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And if you're not yet familiar with how the Ratha Yatra festival and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu intersect, it's very important to read and reread and reread and rehear that, because it's both such nectar and really, really important to the understanding of our philosophy of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, which is basically service and separation. So I've been charged with an impossible task, and that is to deliver a summary in the next 15 or 20 minutes. Yeah, that'll bring us to 8:30. Of the greatest question and answer session in all of recorded history, the conversation between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai, a conversation that takes us to the highest realms of transcendental consciousness, namely the very love that inspired Lord Krishna to appear as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 539 years ago. So, as I've mentioned, this conversation between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy appears in Chapter 8 of the Madhya Leela from verses 57 to 313, or about 255 verses. The author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, describes their meeting as a mixture of condensed milk, sugar candy, and camphor, and says that if one tastes this combined preparation, he is most fortunate. Now, although Lord Chaitanya is the source of all knowledge, ironically, this conversation takes the form of Lord Chaitanya asking questions and Ramananda Roy responding. Ramananda Roy was a highly learned pandit. He was actually referred to as a Maha Pandit, but he was technically considered a Shudra, and it was strictly forbidden for a sannyasi to mix with a Shudra. But if you doubt that God has a sense of humor, seen externally, we have a self-effulgent sannyasi first ecstatically embracing a so-called Shudra and then inquiring from him about the most esoteric spiritual truths. Not only that, but Lord Chaitanya is described as being as brilliant as 100 suns. And the loving embrace between the two when they first met was so intense and filled with such deep ecstatic emotions that the stereotyped ritualistic brahmanas observing the scene became struck with wonder. So when I'm facing something that's both inconceivable and impossible, what I try to do is sort of break things down into categories. And so I have the following rough sort of understanding on my part of how this momentous conversation is divided. And there are approximately 9 categories. So first of all, the responses that Lord Chaitanya rejects, and then an introduction to Madhurya Rasa, or love of God, in the conjugal relationship, Krishna Tattva, or basic truths about Krishna, Radha Tattva, basic truths about Srimati Radharani, the qualities of the love between Radha and Krishna, the glories of the gopis. Then Lord Chaitanya gives Ramananda Roy a pop quiz. Lord Chaitanya reveals his identity as Radha and Krishna, and the conclusion. So, Lord Chaitanya begins by asking Ramananda Roy to speak on the ultimate goal of life. Ramananda Roy responds that if one executes his duties within Varnashram Dharma, his Krishna consciousness will be awakened. So you'd think that would be perfectly acceptable, right? But the Lord responds, Eho Bahya, that's external, and thus rejects it. Ramananda Roy then quotes the famous Bhagavad Gita verse, Yat Karoshi Yat Ashnasi, all that you do, all that you eat, and so forth should be done as an offering unto me. How does the Lord respond? That is also external. Ramananda Roy then says that to give up one's duties in Varnashram Dharma is the essence of perfection. Sarva Dharman Parityajya. The Lord rejects his response and tells him, say something more. Ramananda Roy then says, Brahma, Bhuta, Prashanatma, devotional service mixed with empiric knowledge. But the Lord again rejects it as external. Ramananda Roy then suggests pure devotional service without a touch of speculative knowledge. So He quotes these famous verses, which if we are active preachers, we could possibly quote all the time from the Bhagavad Gita. And they're the absolute truth. The Bhagavad Gita is the highest knowledge. But one after another, because Lord Chaitanya in this conversation has set the bar so high, he's rejecting, 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 rejecting. Yes, they're the absolute truth, but even there are gradations of the absolute truth, which we'll hear about a little bit more. So, when Ramananda Roy suggests pure devotional service without a touch of speculative knowledge, we finally turn the corner, because the Lord says, this is all right, but can you speak more? So Ramananda Roy responds, ecstatic love for the Supreme Lord is the essence of all perfection. And he quotes from the Padyavali by Srila Rupa Goswami, the wonderful verse that includes the phrase, tatra lovlyam api, intense greed to obtain it. That is all right, but if you know more, please tell me. Ramananda Roy then explains progressively the three rasas, servitude, friendship, and parenthood. Each time the Lord says that Ramananda Roy's statements are getting better and better, but the Lord says, surpassing all of these rasas is another transcendental mellow, and you can speak of that as the most sublime. It's almost as if Lord Chaitanya couldn't wait. He had to hear about Madhurya Ras. So we've gone from verses 57 to verse 80, and there are only 230 more verses, so I'll try to hurry. Ramananda Roy then begins to describe the qualities of the conjugal ras. By the way, rasa refers to relationship, mellow, taste, or flavor, and rasa long A, for us Westerners, it's kind of difficult to get the difference between the two. Rasa refers to the rasa dance. Of course, it refers to many other things, but in the context of our literature, rasa means relationship with Krishna, and rasa refers to the rasa dance. So Ramananda Roy then begins to describe the qualities of the conjugal ras. For example, conjugal ras contains the flavors of all the other rasas, just as in the element earth, the qualities of sky, air, fire, and water are all visible. Ramananda Roy says, complete attainment of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna is made possible by love of Godhead, specifically conjugal love. Lord Krishna is indeed captivated by this standard of love. And then he says, Lord Krishna cannot proportionately reciprocate devotional service in Madhurya Ras. Therefore, he forever remains a debtor to such devotees. So we've just learned a few things about Madhurya Rasa, that it contains all the elements of the other relationships, that Lord Krishna is captivated by this standard of love, that this form of loving devotion is so intense that the Lord cannot reciprocate it, and he forever remains a debtor to such devotees. Can you imagine God being in your debt? It's a little inconceivable. Of course, the perverted reflection of that is, you know, that God owes me a living, or God owes me this, God owes me that. But this is the high. What we're reading about is the highest, the original condition of that, in which the devotee expresses such love and such loving service to the Lord that the Lord says, I can't possibly reciprocate this. So Ramananda Roy continues, although Krishna's unparalleled beauty is the topmost sweetness of love of Godhead, his sweetness increases unlimitedly when he is in the company of the gopis. So Lord Chaitanya replies, this is certainly the limit of perfection, but please be merciful to me and speak more if there is more. So then Ramananda Roy, he's not exactly bewildered, but he makes this comment that I found so interesting. He says, until this day, I did not know anyone within this material world who could inquire beyond this perfectional stage of devotional service. In other words, he didn't know that such questions could even exist or could even be formulated. Personally, I take our literature is a little bit for granted, or maybe a lot for granted, but it's hard. We cannot overestimate or underestimate. Anyway, we can't conceive of what revolutionary information is contained in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and specifically the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, Ramananda Roy is speaking. Bear with me. So as I was saying, we've learned a little bit about the unique qualities of Madhurya Rasa, and next we'll hear about a singular devotee who embodies the highest standard of Madhurya Rasa. So Ramananda Roy is speaking. Among the loving affairs of the gopis, the love of Srimati Radharani for Sri Krishna is topmost. Her love is glorified in all the real scriptures. Her bathing place, Radha Kunda, is also dear to the Lord. Lord Chaitanya then says, please speak on. I am very happy to hear you because a river of unprecedented nectar is flowing from your mouth. Now Ramananda Roy will disclose some of the cunning behavior of Srimati Radharani. Quote, finding herself treated equally with all the other gopis in the rasa dance, Srimati Radharani displayed her tricky behavior and left the rasa dance. Missing her presence, Krishna became very unhappy and began to lament and wander throughout the forest to search her out. Ramananda Roy continues, and I found this very curious. I can't begin to understand it, but I really enjoyed what he had to say. The progress of loving affairs between young couples is like the movement of a snake. Two types of anger arise between young couples, anger with cause and anger without cause. So it's like the movement of a snake. Anyway. Lord Chaitanya then thanks him as follows. Now I have come to understand the sublime goal of life and the process of achieving it. But I think there is something more ahead and my mind is desiring to have it. But for yourself, no one can ascertain these truths. So he's egging Ramananda Roy on and on and on. Please speak more. Please speak more. Please go higher. Please go higher. So at this point, Ramananda Roy responds humbly, I do not know anything about this. I simply repeat like a parrot whatever instructions you have given me. But Chaitanya responds with similar humility. He says, I am a Mayavadi sannyasi. I simply float in the ocean of Mayavad philosophy. Due to the association of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, my mind has become enlightened. Therefore, I have asked Sarvabhauma about the truths of transcendental loving service to Krishna. But Sarvabhauma told me, I do not actually know about the topics of Lord Krishna. They are all known only to Ramananda Roy. So we have this fascinating situation of these three exalted personalities all denying any knowledge of these topics and pointing to the next person as the one in knowledge, except that Ramananda Roy says he's simply repeating like a parrot, whatever Lord Chaitanya is instructing him to speak. Oh, so in the next verses, which I will not go into, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami establishes Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the source of all incarnations, and that he's also the all-attractive Lord and the ever-fresh Cupid. So after describing the original form of the Supreme Lord, Ramananda Roy then goes on to explain some of the qualities of Srimati Radharani, in the course of which we learn additional features of her greatness. So this is Ramananda Roy speaking. The essential part of love of Godhead is called Mahabhava, transcendental ecstasy. And that ecstasy is represented by Srimati Radharani. That supreme ecstasy of Srimati Radharani is the essence of spiritual life. Her only business is to fulfill all the desires of Krishna. Srimati Radharani's transcendental body is brilliant in luster and full of all transcendental flavors. Lord Krishna's affection for her is like a perfumed massage. So at this point, if you were to ask, so what is Srimati Radharani's daily schedule look like? Ramananda Roy would answer as follows. Srimati Radharani takes her first bath in the shower of the nectar of compassion, and she takes her second bath in the nectar of youth. After her midday bath, Radharani takes another bath in the nectar of bodily luster, and she puts on the garment of shyness, which is exactly like a black silk sari. Covered anger and craftiness constitute the arrangement of her hair. The quality of anger due to jealousy is just like the silk that covers her body. So in one of the purports of this chapter, Prabhupada explains that Ramananda Roy is the gopi, Vishakha. And in the next section, Ramananda Roy recites a song that he himself wrote that was so transcendentally intimate that in the beginning, Lord Chaitanya covered Ramananda Roy's mouth to stop him from reciting it. So this is a very condensed version of what Ramananda Roy wrote. And this is in the voice of Srimati Radharani. Alas, before we met, there was an initial attachment between us brought about by an exchange of glances. That attachment has gradually grown and there is no limit to it. Krishna's mind and my mind have merged together. Now, during this time of separation, it is very difficult to explain these loving affairs. And our attraction has increased to another ecstatic state. My dear friend, please act as a messenger on my behalf, because if one is in love with a beautiful person, this is the consequence. So in the next section, we learn about the service attitude of the gopis and how Srimati Radharani derives much greater happiness through inducing Krishna to meet with the gopis than in meeting him herself. So Ramananda Roy is speaking, "The pastimes of Radha and Krishna are very confidential. They cannot be understood through the mellows of servitude, fraternity, or parental affection. Actually, only the gopis have the right to appreciate these transcendental pastimes, and only from them can these pastimes be expanded. Without the gopis, these pastimes between Radha and Krishna cannot be nourished. Only by their cooperation are such pastimes broadcast. It is their business to taste these mellows. Although the gopis do not desire to enjoy themselves directly with Krishna, Srimati Radharani makes a great endeavor to induce Krishna to enjoy himself with the gopis. Presenting various pleas for the gopis, Srimati Radharani sometimes sends the gopis to Krishna just to enable them to associate with him directly. At such times, she enjoys a happiness 10 million times greater than that enjoyed through direct association." But here, Ramananda Roy issues a kind of warning. He says, "Lusty desires are experienced when one is concerned with his own personal sense gratification. The mood of the gopis is not like that. Their only desire is to satisfy the senses of Krishna. Among the gopis, there is not a pinch of desire for sense gratification. Their only desire is to give pleasure to Krishna, and this is why they mingle with him and enjoy with him." In the next section, Lord Chaitanya asks Ramananda Roy to give up his government service so that they can live together in Jagannath Puri. In the next section, Lord Chaitanya springs a pop quiz on Ramananda Roy and asks him 13 questions. And Prabhupada writes that these questions and answers demonstrate the difference between material and spiritual existence. So in the interest of time, I've chosen just 3 of these 13 questions. So Lord Chaitanya asks, "Of all kinds of distress, what is the most painful?" Does anyone know the answer to that? Of all kinds of distress, what is the most painful? You're right, yeah. "Apart from separation from the devotee of Krishna, I know of no unbearable happiness." Lord Chaitanya then asks, "What should all living entities constantly remember?" And Ramananda Roy replies, anyone want to take a gamble? Very good. "The chief objects of remembrance are always the Lord's holy name, qualities, and pastimes." And Lord Chaitanya further inquired, "Out of many types of meditation, which is required for all living entities?" And Ramananda Roy replies, "The chief duty of every living entity is to meditate upon the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna." Well, you guys are doing pretty well. So in the next section, Lord Chaitanya peels back his so-called covering as a sannyasi and reveals his true identity. And I was puzzled because I thought that Lord Chaitanya's identity is Krishna's identity. They're the same but different. But in a couple of instances, Prabhupada talks about his real identity, his true identity, and so forth. And I don't pretend to understand that, but I found that fascinating. So Ramananda Roy then explains that he has but one doubt within his heart, and he petitions the Lord as follows. "Please be merciful upon me and just remove my doubt. At first I saw you appear like a sannyasi, but now I am seeing you as Shyamasundara, the coward boy. I now see you appearing like a golden doll, and your entire body appears covered by a golden luster. I see that you are holding a flute in your mouth, to your mouth, and your lotus eyes are moving very restlessly due to various ecstasies. I actually see you in this way, and this is very wonderful. My Lord, please tell me without duplicity, what is causing this? So Lord Chaitanya is appearing as a sannyasi, but then he morphs into a coward boy, and then he appears like a golden doll covered by a golden luster, which I assume is Srimati Radharani. Then he's holding a flute to his mouth, and his eyes are moving restlessly out of ecstasy. So Lord Chaitanya responds in a joking fashion. He says that an advanced devotee sees everything movable and inert as the Supreme Lord. But then Lord Chaitanya reveals his real form, and that's a direct quote, his real form to Ramananda Rai, at which point Ramananda Rai loses consciousness and falls to the ground. Waking him up, Lord Chaitanya tells him, but for you, no one has ever seen this form. So we are at the conclusion. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, actually these conversations are like a great mine where from a single place one can extract all kinds of metals, copper, bell metal, silver, and gold, and also touchstone, the basis of all metals. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy worked like miners excavating all kinds of valuable metals, each one better than the other. Their questions and answers are exactly like that. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami then concludes, I have briefly described the meeting between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai. No one can actually describe this meeting exhaustively. It is even impossible for Lord Sesha Naga. So I guess compared to Lord Sesha Naga, we all didn't do a bad job here, who has thousands of hoods. And then he closes with a customary chapter ending, Shri Rup Raghunath Paddi Yad Ash Chaitanya Charitamrit Kahi Krishna Das, praying at the lotus feet of Shri Rup and Shri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Shri Shri Rati Yatra Ki Jai. Thank you for your kind attention. Hare Krishna.